Hello, and thank you for tuning in to a very sleep-deprived episode of Pop Culture Uncovered. Hi, you probably haven't heard my voice in a while. This is Armand. I am, of course, joined by Belle and Pete. And I say sleep-deprived as I am currently trying to integrate my new daughter into my life, which I will say I'm doing that along with probably spending entirely too much money on Marvel Strike Force because I can't play my Xbox. So now I am part of the mobile gaming cabal, and it's very shameful. But we have many great things to talk to you about tonight. We have Deadpool and Wolverine to talk about. Some trailers have come out. Some people are expressing joy or dismay or frustration. There's Tales of the Empire, of which people are expressing joy and frustration and some degree of hatred. And then the one thing I don't think anybody is having a problem with, and that's Jonathan Hickman's newly created Ultimate Universe. With the flagship book being Ultimate Spider-Man, which is basically what every 45 to 55-year-old Spider-Man fan wanted in a Spider-Man comic book in the first damn place. So now now all the old people are like, we've got our book. The kids can have the damn slot stuff. We'll start there. So first, I guess I'll start with our resident Star Wars expert, you know, the man himself who probably sat, you know, as a Jedi Grandmaster in the High Canyon during the High Republic, Pete. Tales of the Empire.
That's a lot. By the way, that's a lot for an introduction. I don't know if I can live up to that.
See, I've been reading my Star Wars encyclopedia while I was on paternity leave. But no, I mean, look, I'm always excited for these shorts. Because there's so much canonical story that we don't get a chance to see visually. That I'm kind of like, anything that fills in the holes of the overall Star Wars universe, I'm excited about. Some fans seem to be frustrated that it's Tales of the Empire this year. I'm not one of those, but I was just curious about your take on it.
Yeah, so this covers like a period of Star Wars history that we didn't get any answers to, which is, you know, related to what is the Clone Wars, when Barriss Offee is arrested, taken away, and then we don't really know what happens after that. And then, you know, really the next time we pick up with Star Wars stories is Rebels, which also doesn't cover that. So it's a lot of the Inquisitor. It's a lot of, you know, there's a lot going on. And it's a sort of like a reunion of Clone Wars and Rebels villains. When we talked about like what has got the fans riled up, what doesn't, if it always feels like the same thing, which I never like to talk about. But the comments have been pretty positive. Like, I'm just scrolling, and I'm, like, a little bit shocked that people seem to be here for it. The sort of parallels of, like, Barriss serving under Vader, where Anakin was the one who got her arrested in the first place. And, like, a new look for General Grievous in this trailer that, you know, it's a little bit different. But, you know, like, I don't know. This trailer just had me excited. With the Ahsoka season having wrapped up, with, you know, sort of the revisit of Rebels that we all did before the Ahsoka series came out, I feel like this is kind of the perfect time to explore, like, this time period, these characters. I'm totally here for it. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, before we go to Belle, I'll just say the Inquisitors have become such a great addition to the lore of Star Wars. And I mean, they're so prominent right now. I mean, I just got finished beating Jedi Survivor a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, the Inquisitors are part of the story of the Fallen Order, a little bit of that story as well. And so I just, you know, obviously the Inquisitors mattered so far as the Kenobi series that we saw recently. Again, you had Marduk, who, you know, we think he was resurrected using Night Sister magic, but it was never explicitly said. But if you see Green Mist in Star Wars, you can pretty much
tell
the thing of Night Sister. I just think the Inquisitors they're so interesting because you know inherently their story is so jacked up because by the time you get to A New Hope, there aren't any. So the storytelling possibilities are just great. And so, look, and I always thought Barriss was a great character in terms of how they chose to use her in the Clone Wars. So I just feel like that's a character that's worth revisiting. And I mean, I love the fact that it's Tales of the Empire because I've always said the Empire is fascinating. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I've been reading Greg Pak's Star Wars and Darth Vader stuff because it's just about, well, how does Tarkin interact with Vader? How does Tag, you know, interact with Vader after the destruction of the Death Star? they're all these holes. So I guess as a fan, I'm just like, look, anytime you can take it from, you know, from written text, from a comic book, and turn it into something, you know, visual, whether it's animated or live action, I'm here all for it. Because until we finally leave the original trilogy with something really good, filling in these holes is, I know, I understand it's basically fan service, but I'm here for it. Belle, what's your take?
So for me, it's always interesting to see a character who is right. And what I mean by that is, did Barriss go about her leaving of the Jedi the right way? No. She set Ahsoka up to take a fall for something she absolutely did not do. But her reasoning for why she left is not wrong. And so it's always interesting to see that side of it, of the characters who leave and then think that they're moving away from it, but they're just swapping one form of slavery for another. I keep thinking about, for those who haven't seen it, Dune Part 2, spoiler, how the Fremen unknowingly swapped one branch of the Harkonnens for a different branch of the Harkonnens in the film and didn't realize it. So Barriss leaving the Jedi, which obviously is very much based on the Dune books, for those who didn't know, the way she leaves is not the right way to go about it, but she's not wrong for her disillusionment. So to see how, what happens with her going forward, I'm very much interested in. The other thing, I also really like that they have Diana Lee and Asano playing Morgan as well, both verbally as well as she did live action. And I'm very interested to see her point of view, because if I'm remembering correctly, yes, her people were massacred, but it wasn't the Republic that did that. So again, it's a character who's going to work for the very people who did the murdering of their people and doesn't know it. So I'm very interested to see how that particularly plays out. And I wonder how that's going to affect Ahsoka season 2 and if that ever comes to light. So that's the other thing. The other thing that is interesting to me is, how is this all going to play out with regards to this being the final season of the Bad Batch, and we have 2 live action series coming back, as far as you know, possibly 3, and all of these characters are pivotal to the stories of The Mandalorian, Boba Fett, and Ahsoka. So how is that going to play in live action, and which characters are going to make, other than the ones we've already seen in live action, which characters are going to make the transition? Because I cannot believe they brought Barriss back for no reason.
No, that makes good sense. I mean, before we move on, I'll just offer the following. 9-year-old Armand can remember when all we had after Return of the Jedi were the Ewok adventures. That was all the Star Wars there was. So I'm just thankful that there's enough Star Wars where there can be bad Star Wars. Because before, there was no damn Star Wars. Right. I mean, I hate to sound like an old man, but for you young people out there, when I tell you, when Timothy Zahn's trilogy came out, people were like it's Star Wars on crack. Like you couldn't get your friend to loan you the hardcover copy. They were like, oh no, this beat up paperback copy, you can read that, but the hardcover belongs to my older brother, and that's not allowed to leave the house because this is all the Star Wars we have now. So I'm looking forward to it. And lastly, I'll say, the Night Sisters have become really prominent characters in Star Wars in the last couple of years. Again, because of Cal Kestis and Jedi Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor, because of the introduction of Savage Opress and Asajj Ventress. And there's so many, you know, Force wielders from Dathomir that are outside the Jedi tradition that make them so interesting that I'm just here for it. And I mean, and if it's bad, it's bad. But it's still Star Wars, which makes it better than most other things I'm looking at. So leaving that, to move on to a small film called Deadpool and Wolverine. I'm going to be honest. I am not a Deadpool fan. because I am so old, I remember Deadpool's first appearance in X-Force 2. So my brain is so ingrained on him being a jackass version of Deathstroke the Terminator that the fourth wall breaking Ryan Reynolds version is not something I naturally gravitate towards. But even I found myself being amused as hell with these trailers, and I was like, you know, I haven't watched the Deadpool since the first one, and I have to admit I did like it. So they're winning me over. I mean, Belle, I mean, I think you're a Deadpool fan, but I'm not 100% sure. So I guess where are you at with all of this? And what did you think about, I guess, they're really introducing us to another different version of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. That's not, I don't think it's the same one.
No.
From
Logan. Okay, so go ahead. It's not. So Deadpool is one of those characters that is very tricky to write. And what I mean by that is that if you don't understand, and like to the extent that even the person who created him, Rob Liefeld, doesn't actually, also, I don't know if you caught the Liefeld just feet thing in the background of the trailer, because that was hilarious. And for those who know, you know why that is freaking hilarious. But to an extent, yes, Rob Liefeld created the character, and people are like, well, he knows the character. That's not necessarily true. That's not necessarily true, because he, as a writer, didn't grow with the character. Deadpool became something different when people with who actually, and I'm not here to bash Rob Liefeld, because he created a bunch of characters that I actually really, really like. But people who are actual grown-ups started writing him, and I'm not meaning an age, I'm meaning in thought process. So Deadpool is one of those characters who's never actually had a good single Deadpool book. If you go back and read his history as a character, he's never had a good book where it's just him. Deadpool and Hawkeye, Deadpool, Spideypool, those are fantastic books. His character in other things are really great. There's one run of Deadpool that's really, really phenomenal, where it's where there's a conversation between him and Death, and that's the entire run of the book, and you really get to dig into this character. But the reason Deadpool cannot be written well, or I shouldn't say can't be, is often not written well. Let me change that. Is because people don't understand how humor works. And what I mean by that is there's a wonderful meme that is so very true, where someone says, are you okay? No, but I am funny. That's Deadpool in a nutshell. Deadpool is not okay. Wade Wilson is not okay. Wade Wilson is in constant pain. He is in constant, even more than Wolverine. His cancer is constantly regenerating. He cannot die. He's tried. Think about that scene from the very first Avengers movie where Bruce talks about shooting himself in the mouth to try to kill himself, and the Hulk spit the bullet out. Now, multiply that times 100. Half of Deadpool's issues are that he's trying. The reason he's so lackadaisical about his life is because he keeps trying to end it, because he is in constant pain. And the people he loves, he keeps losing. And so the character is, if you don't understand that his humor comes from, it is the only way that he can process the fact, his literal physical pain, not to mention the fact that he is aware of the universe he's in, which is a mind screw when you really think about it. He's not crazy. Everyone thinks he is. When it was She-Hulk, it was funny. With Deadpool, everybody thinks he's crazy, because everybody forgets that She-Hulk was the first one to break the fourth wall, not Deadpool. So when you have that as a character and you really understand that, it makes the character much richer. But unfortunately, most people don't get that. Ryan Reynolds and his team get that about this character. It'll be interesting to see where they go with this. And I also don't like the casting of Hugh Jackman. I know everybody was on that character's tip and Hugh Jackman being cast. Hugh Jackman is not, has never, that character being cast as Hugh Jackman is just wrong. He just physically is wrong. Yes, he has the attitude, but the depth, until you get to Logan, the depth is not there. And so, I feel like this is going to be an amazing film. I feel like this is going to be the final chapter of Hugh Jackman's Wolverine. I think that this will be the final chapter of that Wolverine. I think this will be the official, obviously it's going to be the official merging. I'm very interested to see, more than anything, more than Paradox, who should not be there, which is the point, hence the name. I'm much more interested in Cassandra freaking Nova. That was the person in that trailer I was not prepared for. And when I tell you, I was like, oh, we're going here? Okay. Yes, please. More. Because Cassandra Nova is Charles Xavier on steroids and real angry. And so I am here for it. So we'll see what happens. If this is the final movie in the Deadpool trilogy, I'm okay with it. If it's not, that's fine too. Pete, what about you?
Here's the thing, when it comes to Deadpool movies, I'm with Armand. I guess I was never a fan of Deadpool. I think precisely for the reasons you guys have said. Like, I've never found a Deadpool that was written in a way that like was interesting to me. When you have a character who breaks the fourth wall, you kind of have to really be on board for that character. The best way I can describe it is watching the movie Deadpool was like, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to participate in it. Whereas when I'm reading a comic book, I'm so removed from this being a real story because of so much of the fourth wall breaking that I don't know why it's that way with Deadpool. I also don't love Harley Quinn, kind of for the same reason, at least in a lot of Harley Quinn books. But just like Deadpool, Harley Quinn, like, you know, live performances and animated performances, in particular with Harley, have been like really interesting and really well done. And maybe it's just that, like, I guess when I'm the one who has to sort of like participate in that creation process by reading the comic book and creating a voice for this person in my mind, it becomes tedious when they're a fourth wall breaker. But somehow, when it comes to the movies, it's been a lot more fun. Ryan Reynolds is kind of born to be Deadpool. And we've seen Hugh Jackman be Wolverine so much that I love the idea of like, okay, we'll get it again, but we'll get it in a very different way. And I feel like they're playing with house money, I guess is how I feel about it. The first Deadpool was a runaway hit, and you could tell everyone involved knew it was going to be, and they had fought the fight and been like, if you will just let us make this stupid movie, we will make you so much money, just get out of our way. And I felt like Ryan Reynolds, you know, wielded the exact amount of power he needed to make that happen. He, you know, put enough personal investment into it. And so Deadpool 2 was a victory lap. And Deadpool 3 is like a meme come to life. Like, we watched this happen, all of us in real life, watched Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman just jerk us around and mess with us and tease us and like have a friendship that's almost as much fun, you know, as Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. And I mean, nothing will come as, you know, we'll touch that, but nothing will be as big as that friendship. But, you know, so it's like we're all kind of along. So the fourth wall has never stopped being broken. It's like Ryan Reynolds is telling me he's making a Deadpool movie, and then he's telling me he's also Deadpool. And I'm like, sure, like whatever you want to do, I'll just be along with it. And I don't know what it is about Ryan Reynolds that I love so much because I've been a fan since Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, which I watched religiously and even enjoyed Van
Yes, I
Wilder.
thought I was the only one I remembered that
Right.
damn show. I love that show so bad.
So I guess how I feel is it's just like they're playing with house money. There's nothing they can do that will make me critically like come after it because I just don't care. Like it's, you know, it's like watching your friends put on a skit when you're a kid or, you know, drawing your own comic books. It broke the fourth wall for me in a way that I enjoy. And so outside of the comic book Deadpool, which I've never been able to connect with, Movie Deadpool, I'm here for it. At a certain point, they might make too many sequels and I'll just stop watching. But it won't be because I hate it. It'll just be because, it'll be there. I'll watch it sometime.
Well, I think that's Deadpool and Wolverine. I mean,
Yep.
I think it's that's Marvel's only big release this year. And I've already started to see scuttlebutt that the can't you know the post-credit scene is going to be bonkers. But we'll have to see. Well, to close things out, I wanted to talk, you know, about those things called comic books, which we actually don't really talk that much about as of late, because I hate to say it, because comic books in a lot of ways have gotten redundant. I mean, if it's not the indie stuff, the regular stuff put out by the big two hasn't been particularly compelling, with the only exception, at least for me personally, being Jonathan Hickman's run on X-Men that kind of set up everything, which, shocker, you know, Armand's favorite comic books, East of West. Armand's mentioned this on like 75 podcasts. Who wrote it? Jonathan Hickman. You know, oh, Armand likes the X-Men currently. Who set up everything for that? Jonathan Hickman. So if you couldn't see the writing on the wall, I'm talking about yet another Jonathan Hickman-inspired series of books. This is the new Ultimate Universe, which, you know, everything that was old is new again. So literally, you know, I'm old enough to have remembered the original Ultimate Universe. And then it became so successful, they started stealing ideas and pulling stuff into the 616, including a little character by the name of Miles Morales. And now they've completely relaunched it all over again. But they relaunched it with a really novel, great idea that I think is a perfect example of Jonathan Hickman and his ability to set up amazing stories, which is really simple. The Maker, who is the evil version of Reed Richards that we saw in the original Ultimate Fantastic Four, has escaped the Illuminati. The Illuminati, of course, is Black Bolt, Iron Man, Mr. Fantastic, Iron Man, and Professor Xavier. He's escaped into another dimension. And before he escaped, he asked Reed Richards a simple question. He said, if you had the power to do it, would you erase me from existence? And Reed Richards said, yes. And he's like, oh, interesting. So what does the Maker do? He goes to the six, instead of the 616, it's the 6160 universe. And he eliminates all the key events that create the Marvel heroes that we know. There is no Spider-Man, because Peter Parker was never bitten by a radioactive spider. Howard Stark and Obadiah Stane ran Stane Stark Enterprises. Colossus, Omega Red, and Magic are all villains. There is a shadow cabal running the world.
Oh, shoot.
Right. Khonshu and Ra run all of Africa. Captain Britain is not Brian Braddock, but his brother Jamie, and he's the bastard that you think he would. The Hulk is a strange, like, cult leader slash Zen meditative Buddhist who's, I guess, cooperating with the evil in the hopes of doing greater good. And so Hickman did this amazing miniseries that was just called Ultimate Invasion that set all of this up, with basically Howard Stark sacrificing himself to get to trap the Maker in this pocket universe for 2 years. So the heroes have 2 years to go from complete novices figuring out how to save the world. And the flagship book is Ultimate Spider-Man, which is everything that anybody who grew up with Peter Parker, where you saw him leave high school, you saw him go to Empire State, you saw him leave the Daily Bugle, you saw him get married. This is Peter Parker as a 35-year-old man, which I should say Tony Stark is a kid, but Stark has been going around basically to all of the people who should have been heroes, basically saying, you were robbed of who you were supposed to be. I won't make you be this, but it's up for you to decide. Peter Parker decides that, yeah, I want to be a hero. He hasn't told Mary Jane yet. His daughter, May, caught him in his costume. And it's a completely new and refreshing take on it. Like, the Green Goblin, as of yet, is not a villain. He's dedicated to taking down Wilson Fisk. Wilson Fisk serves the cabal that's running the world. Bullseye is you know, is their designated, you know, assassin to kill people. It's just like, oh yeah. So I mean, all of it, it's great. It's a story that you literally could not tell in the regular Marvel universe, which gives it so much freshness. It's so unpredictable. It so much brings me back to what made me love comic books in the first place, which is you're really only getting 27 to 32 pages of a story. But can you tell a story that's that good that you're looking forward to that book coming out the next month? And right now, I gotta say, Ultimate Spider-Man is it. Now, the other surprising thing for me, I have not been reading Peach Momoko's Ultimate X-Men. Some people love it, some people hate it. It's entirely dependent, I think, on whether or not you like her art style. The other book that I love out of the series so far, because they're doing it smart. They're not launching a bunch of books. It's a really gradual, slow burn. So we'll get the new version of that universe's version of the Avengers, the Ultimates, I think in July. But the other book right now is Brian Hill's Ultimate Black Panther, which I have to tell you, based off of the three issues that I have read thus far, this is the best take I've seen on the Black Panther since Ta-Nehisi Coates stopped writing it. Just because I can't predict from month to month what's going to happen. If you had told me, oh, Armand, how would you feel about a Black Panther comic book where Wakanda is the only free nation separated from, like, you know, the cabal that's running the world, and all of Africa is run by Khonshu? Those of you who saw Moon Knight know that Khonshu is not a nice god. And Ra. So you've got two Egyptian deities ruling all of Africa. T'Challa is married to Okoye. Storm is in a relationship with Killmonger. By the way, Killmonger is a good guy. It's such a completely different take on the character in Wakanda that you sit back. Oh, by the way, Shuri's a villain. We didn't know that until the third episode. It's just what I love about comics. It's, I cannot sit here and tell you, oh, they're redoing this storyline from 2001 when da-da-da-da-da-da happened, and they're just changing this part to make it different. It's, for the time being, and I know that this is a, it can't go on like this forever. The original Ultimate Universe, it got to a point where they got themselves so boxed in they couldn't do refreshing ideas anymore. But I think we're a couple of years away from that. And while I was really ready to kind of jump off the Marvel train and just kind of sit back and I'm waiting for graphic novels and waiting for whatever issue to drop on Marvel Unlimited, these Ultimate books are the stuff that's bringing me back to my local comic book store to be like, hey, when Black Panther, Ultimate Black Panther 4 comes out, I want it day one. Like, I want it in my hand. So if you're looking to check out something that's new and entertaining, I would strongly encourage you to check out the new Ultimate Universe, because I think it's Hickman, again, doing some really great work. That's it. That's all I got.
That, honestly, is, I haven't said that kind of thing about a comic book in so long. I haven't had that kind of, like, energy and excitement about a comic book in so long. That's really interesting.
Well,
I don't know what to say. Like, yeah.
I will say, like, after the utter disappointment of Gotham War over at DC, that, you know, hearing that one of the big two actually put out something decent is really nice. And I look forward to reading it on my Marvel Unlimited subscription.
Yeah, I knew that was coming well. Because the good people at Marvel realize they have a hit on their hands. Instead of the typical long wait for the issues to drop, Ultimate Spider-Man 1 and 2, I know, are currently available on Marvel Unlimited. So if you do have a subscription, this is a great book to check out. And like I said, it's a great launching pad. It's just great storytelling. And I can't remember the artist, so you'll have to forgive me. But the art is phenomenal as well. And look, to be perfectly honest, a married Peter Parker, and I say this as a guy who's now a father of three, two boys and one girl. This notion that you can't tell interesting stories with heroes because when they're married, because they don't, you know, it's not as compelling. It's bullcrap. It's more interesting seeing Peter try to navigate. So I should have been Spider-Man for the last, like, I don't know, 20 years. Now I'm making it all up as I go along. I won't spoil anything for you. I'll just say the first time he meets the Shocker, if it's not the most refreshing thing you've read in a Spider-Man comic book in years, you can go ahead and just blame me. But on that note, we have reached the end of another episode of Pop Culture Uncovered. Definitely like, listen, and subscribe. Check out our YouTube channel. We're continuing to develop content over there. Talk to you soon, everybody. Peace.